Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. Let's set the stage here. 98, Ocarina of Time comes out. It's a massive hit for the N64. Changes the world forever. Changes the way games are made. Very impressive. If you don't like it, you had to be there. That's all I got to say. So this is good for Nintendo, but they built all this architecture to make a Zelda game, and there's not much longer to go on the N64's lifespan. So they're trying to do more with the Ocarina of Time assets to make the most out of that three-year development schedule. And if you don't recall, at the time, Ocarina of Time was very delayed. It was originally a 64DD game. It was the killer app for the 64DD, but that would come out much later. Ocarina of Time would end up being a cartridge game. It was supposed to be a 97 game. It moved to late 98. It was a very delayed production by Nintendo. So during the development of Ocarina, there were two expansions being planned. There was Ura Zelda and Zelda Gaiden. So Zelda Gaiden becomes Majora's Mask, and Ura Zelda eventually surfaces in the form of the Ocarina of Time Master Quest, which is available as a pre-order bonus if you pre-order the Wind Waker. I think they made it available again in some fashion. I don't really remember, but nobody really knows if the Master's Quest for Ocarina of Time, rather, is everything they plan for Ura Zelda. No one knows if that contains everything they planned, because in my estimation, that Master Quest thing is kind of disappointing. It's just a bunch of rearranged dungeons, but not even that significantly rearranged.
I don't know. Didn't Master Quest have a chest that was a switch? Like, you think it's a treasure chest, but it doesn't open, and you're just like, why is there a treasure chest in this room that I can't interact with? And you're driving yourself crazy, being like, how do I solve this room? What the fuck? And then you accidentally hit it with your sword out of frustration, and it goes ding, and like a door opens, and you're just like,
oh, yeah,
fuck,
I forgot that
fuck!
Crappy thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I only got far enough to see the cows embedded in the walls of Jabu Jabu, just to make sure that that actually happened. It was not just a rumor. And yes, they're there in the Master Quest. But yeah, Master Quest ends up being whatever what Ura Zelda was turning into at the time. So jumping back to Ocarina, after the release of the game, everyone splits up. Miyamoto is working on this Zelda spinoff to incorporate everything he wanted to put in the original game. And Eiji Aonuma joins him on this project to rework the dungeons from Ocarina of Time into new dungeons, but he can't really get into it. He ends up making his own dungeons on the side, like as a fun side project. Like, I'm really bored working on Ocarina again, making it, like, touching it up, making it into a slightly different experience. I'm going to make new dungeons. And then he gets the bold idea, I'm going to proposition to Miyamoto, let's make a new Zelda game. Let's forget about Ura Zelda. Let's just make a new game. And yeah, this is, you know, obviously a good idea. But the problem was Ocarina of Time took 3 years to make, and the N64 did not have 3 years left.
Doesn't have many Christmases in its future.
Yeah. I think it had like 4 Christmases total.
Yeah. And honestly, Christmas 1999 wasn't going to be that great for him anyway.
No. But yeah, Miyamoto's like, okay, you can make a new Zelda game, but you must make it in 1 year. So it's sort of like he rubbed the genie's bottle and he got the Wishmaster genie. So he's like, yes, you'll get your game if you make it in 1 year.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the interesting time where Miyamoto had, you know, the start of the N64 is when he kind of stopped really being full director on any one game, and he was the head of like all the games internally at Nintendo. Like, he was needing to delegate more. I think like Ocarina was one of the last ones he had like major input in on the N64, and then this is the, like, this is what's so important about Majora, that this is the moment where it becomes the Aonuma show. Like, this is when he takes over Zelda.
Yeah, Eiji Aonuma, previously the dungeon designer for Ocarina of Time, but he steps into the role of one of the lead directors of this game, along with Yoshiaki Koizumi, which we see him all the time now, right?
Yeah, you see him in everything. He's the host of the Switch things. He's the snapper.
Yes.
On Switch stuff. Yeah.
So yes, that is the terms he's working with. So Aonuma needs all the help he can get. He turns to Yoshiaki Koizumi, who was the battle director of Ocarina of Time. But really, the real story is that Miyamoto cajoles Koizumi into working on the project because Koizumi is working on his own new game. It's a prototype for a cops and robbers style game that you have to catch the crooks within a week. And you meet different characters, learn their schedules. And he likes that idea so much that he says, I will work on Majora's Mask, but you must let me use this idea in the game. And that's when Miyamoto says, okay, we just need you to be here and working on this game.
Whatever, just get it in a year. Like, it's fine. Whatever, great, go.
And it's reported that this was a board game he was working on, but I think just the prototype he made was a board game, because that's often where game prototypes begin, on paper. So I believe this was meant to be a video game. Nintendo was not in the habit of publishing board games in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. So Miyamoto always wanted to make a non-resource intensive Zelda game. He wanted to always make a short Zelda game. He even admits on the record, like, oh yeah, Hyrule Field was a mess. We didn't know what to put in there. We didn't have the platform in which to populate that zone with interesting things to do. And that's why the overworld is so much denser in Majora's Mask, and why all the spaces are so much denser.
See, that was another thing that my friends and I turned on a little, because we were so used to the hugeness of Hyrule Field without realizing, like, it wasn't always useful, the hugeness of it, that this also felt like, oh, they scaled it back, like, it's not as big, like, not as big means not as good.
Well, I figured it was just mainly because, like, your hub is so in the middle of the field that I kind of didn't mind that it, like, felt smaller, because in my head I was like, it could be the same size, it's just that my point that I keep coming back to is so central that it feels shorter no matter what. Like, if you plopped Hyrule Castle Town in the center of, you know, Hyrule Field, it might feel a little similarly distant to all the places you end up going. I don't know.
Mm. Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, to me, every space in the game feels so dense that the overworld doesn't feel like it's shortchanging you in any way. Beef.
No, I was just going to say, you know, like, back then, too, I feel like the vastness of Hyrule Field was kind of a spectacle in and of itself. Like, this is, like, kind of at the point where, like, scale started being a really big thing in games, especially in 3D games, you know? So, like, yeah, Hyrule Field is really empty, and by, like, late game, you're kind of bored just riding through it. But, like, at the start, it's like, oh my gosh, this is enormous. So, yeah, like, Majora's Mask feels like almost like a step, quote-unquote, back in the way, because everything's like, oh, it's just Terminal Field, and it's just this one big thing. But, it, like, you know, playing it now, you kind of appreciate more, like, no, there's way more stuff to do, you know? It's like the Yakuza, like, Kamurocho thing, or where it's like more of a it's not as big as like a Grand Theft Auto, but it's more densely packed and there's more stuff to do rather than like swaths of nothing, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was feeling that with Yakuza versus I was playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey at the same time, back to back with Like a Dragon 7, and when I played that, I was like, Odyssey is technically, like, in the way all Ubisoft games feel this way, that if you were to make a checklist of what makes a good game, it has those things. And Odyssey's map is so immense, like, just gigantic, but it feels like there's really four areas in it, really. Like, they're all just kind of the same, just huge. And then meanwhile, like, in Yakuza, like, each city you're in feels so special that you're really not thinking about how you have, like, maybe, like, six blocks to walk around in.
And also, like, you get to know the place when it's smaller. Like, it felt more like, you know, I'm getting used to the neighborhood, like, when I'm playing a smaller game like Yakuza or, like, Majora's Mask. It just kind of felt a little more lived in. It felt, because of the density and because of the details and because of, like, you know, the character schedules, of course, and, like, being able to follow them to all these different places. It's like, this feels, like, more alive than, like, Ocarina did to me, because everyone stayed in the same places in, you know, Kakariko Village or whatever, and, you know, it just felt more real to me, and I think that was something that appealed to me over Ocarina of Time.
It really feels like it took them until Breath of the Wild to figure out, how do we give you a big space, and you know, that won't make you bored. And they found out, like, oh, we can just put a little, lot of little challenges, and even traversal is fun.
Yeah.
And then like, don't even get on a horse, like with most of these games. Don't even bother. And in this game, you have to jump over three things with your horse, and that's basically all you do with Epona in this game.